This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Here we go. It's Hour 2, GBAG Nation 105.3 The Fan. We are live in Surprise, Arizona, the home of Rangers spring training. They share this ballpark with the Royals. They're currently hosting the Athletics. Segment's going to be the NFL news of the day here in just a second with Zach Wolchuk. Get you updated on everything happening in pro pigskin. Our presenting sponsor is ASCO Equipment, your heavy equipment partner since 1960. And the on-time experts, air conditioning and plumbing, same-day service guaranteed. Here's Wolchuk with your NFL news.
Okie dokie. So we got a new article out. David Moore, what's the plan to replace Zach Martin? Stephen Jones reveals Cowboys' initial roadmap. Okay. Big takeaway from this one. When it comes to Martin, it did seem like Stephen Jones said they feel confident about Beebe. They feel confident about Hoffman maybe holding that down. Didn't shy away from still taking a lineman high in the draft. They do that a lot. But the big one was Terrence Steele. Quote, obviously we got Terrence Steele signed. I think he's going to play much better in this system with Clayton Adams. Clayton has watched all of the tape on him and just really loves him. Terrence's strong point is run blocking. If we do what I think Shoddy and Clayton are going to do offensively, which is an even bigger focus on the run, that's going to help Steele. Clayton is very fired up, and so is Connor, about what Terrence can do. At right tackle, or where could he find himself, was the follow-up question. Stephen Jones said, yes, at right tackle. So now we've kind of thought about, like, all right, do you post June 1? Do you open up some space there via the salary cap? Do you, if you end up drafting one of these left tackles, do you look at moving their position or keeping them at left tackle and then saying, okay, Guyton, you can compete on the right side? But at least right now, Cowboys' plan moving forward is still Terrence Steele as your right tackle, and maybe he's on to something. I did not think Mike Solari helped Terrence Steele. I thought he was a better player under the coaching and guidance of Joe Philbin. Maybe he's right, and Clayton Adams can get him back to the run-blocking form that really was dominant for at least half of the season with Zach Martin a few years ago.
Yeah, no, and just generally, regardless of scheme, I just feel like a running play with Steele is a much better idea. You know, the pressure that he gets, high-quality rushers just ghost him. You know, he just does not have the quickness to get out wide on some of those guys, and the power as well is an issue. Yeah. So I think just in general, Brian, am I wrong?
No, and I think, you know, I think when you followed up and said the power, that's the biggest issue with him. You know, these edges, you know, it used to be like right defensive edges, you know, that was your pass rush guy rushing against that left side. Now these teams have put some of their best players over against the right tackle. Mm-hmm. So, you know, these right tackles have to be up to snuff on how to pass block over there. But the thing with Steele is you can watch his tape and people just power take him back to the quarterback. But the run blocking stuff, he has a really good fit and feel for how to work with the guard, how to kind of work himself inside, push the guard up second level to get on the outside, the pin and pull stuff. I could see where Adams would like him with, they get a crack on the edge and a pull by the tackle with that pin and pull stuff I was just talking about. I could see how they like Steele to potentially do that.
Now, we've got the combine going down. Thursday we start drill. Sean and RJ and Bobby, they're flying out. They're going to be there starting Wednesday. So this is incredible. For the first time in 105 Through the Fan history, we're going to have the scouting combine covered. We got Rangers spring training covered. That's what we do on your home, the Cowboys, home of the Rangers. So Thursday, you're going to get D-line and linebackers, Brian Broaddus.
Mm-hmm.
Friday, we get DBs and tight ends. Saturday, quarterbacks, receivers, and running backs. Cowboys, Stephen Jones also saying they're in the market to possibly draft a quarterback, which likely means they're moving on from Trey Lance. Maybe they're also moving on from Cooper Rush. Could they be looking at one of the Kyle McCords? I know Tyler Shug's been getting a lot of momentum. I don't get why, but hey, there's some other quarterbacks down the line there that they might be interested in on day three of the draft. Offensive line then rounds it out on Sunday. We found out, speaking of quarterbacks, though, Shador won't work out for teams at the combine. So he's not going to do the drills. I'm sure he'll interview with teams, and he's scheduled to arrive on Tuesday.
Yeah.
He will not be doing the drills. So Caleb Williams did not do this last year. Neither did Jaden Daniels. They went on to really have pretty good seasons. Drake May also, I forgot, did not work out last year. All three, yeah. You'd say probably the three, along with Bo Nix, incredible rookie season. So, you know, Brian, I mean, it's not the first time we've seen this, but yeah. I would love to see Shador be able to work out.
No, and, you know, he's the whole thing is about familiarity, and he's going to – they've got draftable receivers at Colorado, and they could go back. They could set it up how they want to. Pat Shurmur, the offensive coordinator for the Buffs, former NFL head coach, offensive coordinator in the league, he could set up the drills. He knows what to do and what the pro teams want to see. So this doesn't surprise me. What we're about to have happen, though, are – other positions not work out.
Exactly.
And Ashton Jeanty yep. is not going to work out.
Yep.
Now, Will Johnson, corner from Michigan, there's talk about him not running at all because there's questions about his speed. So mm-hmm. he might not ever run a 40-yard dash for anybody. And so there's, you know, I get it. You want to throw to your own receivers. You want to control the practice and all those things. Great. But when we're starting to get guys that just, you know, for positions that we're trying to evaluate that are speed dependent, when you talk about wide receivers and say corners not or safeties not running,
yeah,
now we're getting some issues. If they don't run at all, I would have a hard time drafting Will Johnson, corner Michigan, and not knowing his 40-yard dash time. I really would.
Because you're obviously hiding something. And, I mean, you're not confident you're going to run a good time.
I don't think so, yeah. I don't think
yeah,
so.
Yeah, with a lot of other positions, I'd be okay with just going with the tape. But,
yep.
I mean, that's terrifying.
Well, I understand
right
I understand what Travis Hunter's doing. You know, he's basically telling people, like, listen, I won the Heisman Trophy. I've got tape. You can watch that. You know, you want to interview me, see what kind of character I am. Fine, all that. But if I
you
don't
can
have
tell
to,
I'm an electric athlete, though.
Oh no, absolutely. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. But there's some. You know, Will Johnson, that corner from Michigan, started off on a lot of people's board as a top three player, mm-hmm. and now he's floating somewhere between 18 and 25.
Wow.
On where he's going to get picked, and the questions are now even more about how well does he really run. I know this is something that we've talked about on the draft show. I know Vach Lombardi and I on We're Doing All Right podcast have talked about it. Love the Star, we've talked about it. That there's a group of scouts out there that are like, now the media scouts are catching up with the real scouts on how well this guy really, really runs.
I think the Cowboys drafting a quarterback thing is even more interesting, though, you know, because sure, it could mean goodbye to Trey Lance. I think Cooper Rush has just proven he can win, especially if you're going to run the ball even more. Like, his metrics and his analytics say one of the worst, but whenever he's getting in there for an extended stretch, you're like, wow, Cooper Rush kind of gave us a chance, right? And if that happens in the middle of next year and you have to go to an unproven guy or somebody maybe even worse than Trey Lance for the month of October or November, you're probably going to flush your season. I think Cooper Rush give you a chance to go 3-1 or 4-1 or whatever it might be. So that one right there is big, but at the same time, Dak's at an age now where I think you're looking at day three and saying, hey, we'll take this. We want to keep Cooper Rush, but we have to try our hand at getting lucky on a day three pick at this position here.
Well, they got multiple fives.
Yep,
yeah.
Three fives.
And that's where, you know, that's where this thing is probably going to fall.
Siobhan Revelle, the corner from East Carolina, who was considered also maybe the best corner in the draft. went ahead and suffered a torn ACL last October. Dr. Daniel Cooper said in a letter to NFL teams, when he reports to an NFL team after the 2025 draft, he will be cleared for all strength and conditioning activities and individual running and cutting drills as a DB. He will not be cleared for participation with the team until training camp. This is routine for the protocol after ACL reconstruction in football, but overall, really good news for Shavon Ravel Jr. I know we're big fans of him. I personally like him a little bit more than Will Johnson, but some might look and say, like, hey, he's a little bit more stiff. Johnson's a little bit more fluid with the hips, but I think Ravel runs better than
opposite.
Will Johnson.
I think it's opposite, to be honest with you, Wolchuk. I think Ravel is the one that's got a little bit more fluidity to him than what Johnson
Will
has. Yeah. I think because of the length of Will Johnson, mm-hmm. you know, being 6'2", 202 pounds, I think it takes him. He could be a little leggy, and I think Ravel is a little bit more of a, when you start to talk about a guy that can move, the stickiness that he plays with, I really, really, really like this kid a lot. And I kind of feel it's unfortunate that he had to deal with that knee injury. But if Dr. Cooper's fixed him up, man, I would say I'm pretty excited about that.
Yeah, if Al Harris were still here, I think he'd love Shavon Ravel Jr. I mean, he seems like kind of one of those dudes the Cowboys have been taking in recent years. I don't know. Like, do they view that a little bit differently now with a new coaching staff?
He might be there at 44 if people
yeah,
are not really
it's possible.
Comfortable with that knee, you know?
Matthew Stafford has been given permission to talk to other teams about a trade. The Highland Park product was told over the weekend by the Rams. Now, this is good for the Rams. They're kind of able to gauge the interest there, according to Rappaport. Still hopes Stafford could return for the 2025 season in L.A. He's got two seasons left, four-year extension he signed with the Rams back in 2022. But he's actually looking for a pay raise to whatever team he ends up going to, and a few have already expressed interest. The Steelers, the Giants are among teams inside the division, the Browns and the Raiders as well, according to Albert Breer.
He's under contract for like $25 million, and apparently he wants 50 to 55. So the Rams are giving him permission to go out mm-hmm. and find if a team wants to not only give them draft compensation for him, but also willing to do that contract. And if they are, then I think that they'd move on to trying to do something. But a lot of teams, based on what I'm seeing, feel like they're just doing that to see what the value is, and they're not really going to let him go.
Yeah, I think it'd be surprising to me, unless they have a plan in place already and they're ready to pivot. And the Rams have done an excellent job of rebuilding through the draft on their defense, but is there a quarterback they like? Is it Jackson Dart from Ole Miss? Like, what would be their backup option? Because that's a team that's ready to compete right now. Stafford just played brilliantly for you in two playoff games. Heck, he almost came back and gave you a chance to win against the Eagles in the snow. So,
hot shot.
It's surprising. It's surprising to me that they'd be willing to get rid of Matthew Stafford. But to your point, maybe one of these teams says, yeah, we agree with the Rams. We're not going to pay you $15 million. You got to make your $27 million. And then he just stays in L.A. The Raiders have the most cap space to work with among those teams right now. They appear to possibly be the favorites that would be willing to pony up that money. But we'll see what ends up happening moving forward with Matthew Stafford. That's definitely a big domino that could lead to other moves.
Second baseman got handcuffed. He was so jammed, he just said, oh, hell with it, and fell down on his butt. Still managed to snag the ball off his inner thigh and make the play to first.
Rangers still up 9-0 in the bottom of the fourth as they're playing the White Sox across town here as we're hanging out in Surprise, Arizona. G-Bag Nation covering spring training. We got a fun Joe Barlow interview for you a little bit later on. Former Cowboys safety Keanu Neal, 29 years old. He's retiring from the NFL after 8 seasons. Played with the Cowboys, Falcons, Bucks, Steelers. All the lessons learned, he wrote on Instagram. The game has helped mold me into who I am today. So congratulations on quite the career for Keanu Neal.
Yeah, it was going well in Atlanta there for a couple of years, wasn't it?
Yeah,
then he kind
Pro
of battled
Bowl guy.
Injuries,
yeah.
and maybe he was a little, past his prime already by the time the Cowboys got him. But first round pick, I think, Bama. Yeah, Keanu Neal, good player.
So we've got another linebacker that could be available as the Panthers are moving on from Shaq Thompson. 10 years.
That.
I can't believe 10 years Shaq Thompson's already been in the league. So he's going to enter free agency. Could be another option if you want to go linebacker. I'm not sure the price that he's going to command. Former 25th overall pick in 2015 out of Washington was still a pretty darn productive player there for Carolina. So he's going to be entering his 11th season. I don't know. Does that end up being a cost-effective move? He's going to be 31 years old. He's going to test the market, and we'll see. Could that end up being at linebacker? Brian and I, we've talked about it. Weak linebacker class in the draft. I think that's an area you definitely need to try and address to add depth, if not another starter or two in free agency. So maybe Shaq Thompson's another name to throw into the conversation.
Yeah, the linebackers, clearly, you know, we've talked about their if you're going to do something, if they add, they're probably going to bottom fish that group too. We're starting to see, you know, more linebackers, but it's linebackers that are a little bit more of undersized, like a, you know, Jack Kaiser from Notre Dame. Guys are 227 pounds, and there's a couple of guys in here though that are pretty good size. With Stutzman, you know, from Oklahoma, has got some size to him, and then Kobe King from Penn State. Another guy, kind of throwback linebackers, but we're starting to see them. They're not guys that are up in the top, say, you know, day two guys, but maybe more day three guys.
Another safety available, too. You got something on the linebackers?
No, just a lot of them. You know, a lot of former greats. Eric Kendricks is one of them. You know, and how do you project a salary on a guy like Shaq Thompson? I don't even know. You know, but there are options. If you believe in your pro scouting staff, I think the Cowboys have a really good track record of finding guys that can play that might be a little bit long in the tooth and get them at a great value. So I think this is a very relevant name for the Cowboys, depending on what that film looks like.
Another safety available too, Juan Thornhill, was with Kansas City, won Super Bowls there, then moved to the Browns. They're releasing him. That's going to free up $7 million. He had 1 year, $7 million left on his deal, so that's going to free up some cap space for Cleveland. Juan Thornhill could be another safety if you want to add to that position. Cowboys did it a few years ago with Malik Hooker. They've got a starter for the last 3 years, but I do think that is a position that you could go and improve on via free agency. And in one of the weirdest hirings, Jags, hiring former Bears OC Shane Waldron as their passing game coordinator. That's a surefire way to not allow Trevor Lawrence to improve.
They should trade for Jackson Smith and Jigba.
Oh, he loves him.
Set that thing off.
Big fan of Shane Waldron. There's your NFL News of the day.
Thank you, Will Chuck. We're live in surprise spring training coverage all week long. As he mentioned, Joe Barlow, he's coming up with us at 4:40. But usually we do the C-note at 3:20, and there are a number of Cowboys headlines. We'll briefly recap you if you've missed them, and then jump into some Rangers headlines coming up next here. It's the G-Bag Nation live at Surprise Stadium in Arizona on 105.3 The Fan.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast. What is Dax, are you
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
And welcome back. It is the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. We do have the C-Note. I'll get you some Cowboys news here in just a second. But I want to do Rangers news of the day as well because it's just... it's in the air. You know, we're live in surprise watching the Royals and A's play. Rangers are across town beating Cleveland like a redheaded stepchild. You know, just 9-0 first inning. They finally broke out of this little spring slump they've been in. So we'll get an update on that a little bit later on as well. Maybe we'll hear from Sands even. Around the bases every night at 6 o'clock here on your home of the Rangers. Okay, segments brought to you by the Frankels. If you've been injured in a car, truck, wreck, call Franklin Frankel. It's 214 or 817-333-3333 with Franklin Frankel. There's never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. The go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas. Okay, Rangers news here in just a second. Just to kind of recap you on what Stephen Jones said today, because it's a big day here with the combine starting and the front office guys being available for impromptu media sessions. Of course, you'll have Jerry on the bus a little bit later on in the week, so we'll get his take on many of these same subjects. But one of the surprises was Osa is their number one priority in free agency, even before Micah Parsons, which, I don't know, assuming you can take their word for it, does signal to me that they know they now have to spend some money against the cap here, maybe borrow future dollars to get this one done in order to make sure they don't slide back and become as bad as the Giants. You know, like two bad years in a row coming off that loss to the Packers, this could be the culmination of events. And I don't think the Cowboys will ever be inspired to finish a roster by pressure. But hey, guys, we might miss the playoffs. This could be bad. You remember what that was like in the late 80s when we first took over the team? That's kind of like what we could be devolving to. And I just wonder if that could mean some, you know, some flashing of the cash that's unexpected. Because it wasn't until the end of the year where all of a sudden the Cowboys are singing a different tune. They say they might be more aggressive with outside free agents as well. So stay tuned. I'm not totally buying it, but I think as far as retaining your own guys does go with their MO over the years. But quarterback, they'd like to draft one. I find that interesting. You know, day three is what I assume they mean. When they were starting the process of beginning to move on from Tony Romo, they got lucky in the fourth round. They do it immediately, right? They're like, holy cow, we already got the guy. I think you go day three for a little bit, and then if that doesn't work, maybe in the next couple of off seasons, you'd move it up. When, Brian, do you think is the first time the Cowboys will consider using a premium pick on quarterback?
You know, oh, my gosh, boys.
What? No hum, huh?
I think the hum's gone.
Hello.
I think we're in a hum-free environment for the first time. Attaboy, Ruben.
Ruben Portillo.
Good stuff, Ruby.
Engineering his backside off.
Wow.
Look at that.
You know, I feel like, though, that if you know, you might get fortunate like you did with Dak Prescott in the fourth round with a compensatory pick. You know, when you asked me the question about a premium one,
yeah,
I think you're to the point, depending on, though, okay, what if the fifth-round pick does work out?
Yeah.
All of a sudden, you know, we're in Oxnard and we're seeing some preseason games and you're kind of like, okay, well, they've got this guy buttoned up and, you know, Dak Prescott, we've all kind of talked about the cap gymnastics that you're going to have to do probably for a couple of years. But, you know, if that guy were to hit or that guy were to look good or, you know, you could kind of develop a guy that way, maybe that takes – but I
that strategy, by the way. Dak's got 4 years left. Let's see what could happen on day three.
I really, in my heart of hearts, it was like I was once saying, yeah, okay, they're probably going to sign Dak, and yeah, I'd probably sign Dak and all that. Eric, I know you were very much the, hey, let's rip the Band-Aid off, go, you change the coach, change the quarterback, move on. And you're just saying it in not a mean way or anything like that. But this could have been the year where you could have used that premium pick, Dawson.
Yeah.
You could have used the pick at 12.
Sure.
Or you could have used the pick at 44.
You trade up, really.
Yeah exactly. Maybe. So this would have probably been, you know, something where they just said, we're just going to completely move on.
Yeah.
This would have been the year to do it. I don't think you can use a premium pick at least for a couple of years now.
Okay, at least a couple of years.
Yeah.
Because I was thinking, what if Dak, like last year he was on pace, he had 11 touchdowns, 8 picks, and a passer rating under 90. What if you get that season again, which I think you could if Tyler Guyton's your left tackle? What if he gets hurt again? You know, do you look at it next year with or without Arch? You still have a number of quality quarterbacks that are coming in next year's class, maybe 3 or 4 of them as good as the best 2 this year, right? What do you think? Could we be talking legitimately about the Cowboys drafting a quarterback in the first round next year? Would that still be too early?
If he gets hurt again next year, I think that's something that they have to talk about.
Yeah.
Because now you've got it's hard to push back against the injury-prone label.
That's ultimately what triggered them with Romo.
Right.
He'd just been hurt like 2 out of 3 years. They
exactly.
were like done.
And so they threw a dart on Dak and it worked.
Yeah.
And so maybe that's what they're looking this year, even if the likelihood is you're not hitting on the guy anyway.
Right.
But I do like the strategy of just every single year I'm using a pick on trying to see, because the worst thing is if I hit that guy and I've still got my franchise quarterback playing at a high level, that then ends up being great trade leverage for me to acquire other assets. Cowboys just need, if they're going to do that, they have to go ahead and put their money where their mouth is right now and actually pursue filling out the roster via free agency and all the other avenues. Because it does look like you can't afford to spend the luxury of taking a backup quarterback when you've got so many holes on your roster, and it seems like the only way that you're improving is through the draft. So you can go ahead and roll the dice and take a quarterback, but is that a guy that you think could end up being your starting linebacker in 2 years? Or is he going to be riding the bench as a backup quarterback to Dak if all things go well and he doesn't do anything for 4 years? So I don't know. I mean, I do like the idea of it, but they've got to prove that they're willing to go ahead and build the roster and fill some of these holes in other avenues than just the draft. Otherwise, I don't know that you can afford to use that pick on a quarterback.
No, not right now. No, but, if Dak doesn't play well and you're like, wow, the injuries got him, a combination of age and injury got him, and we're not getting any better than, like, the 18th best quarterback, I think you got to rip that Band-Aid off and go for it. At least I hope they'd be aware of that. And, I mean, Tony Romo wasn't that old when they decided to start that process. Next year's class is pretty good, though. You have Nussmeier, you have Aller, you have South Carolina's guy, Sellers, and Cade Klubnik. So it'll be a very interesting college football season. If I had to guess, I think 2027's draft is probably the most likely.
Yeah, if like you said earlier, though, if Dak starts to show that the injuries, the lack of mobility, maybe he doesn't get the offense. I mean, maybe it doesn't all click.
Yeah,
this thing could be very. We've seen teams eat salary cap.
Yeah, and right now I don't know if I would bet on Dak making it to the end of this 4-year contract starter.
Yeah, I think there's some questions about that.
Totally fair. He played really well in 2023, but the status of this offensive line, and that's why I'd be looking for free agency or the 12th pick. Like, we got to come out of one of those two with a better option, unless our guys are working with Guyton and they can guarantee me he's going to play like at least a solid veteran this year. Okay, they also want Lewis and Rico back. We'll talk more Cowboys throughout the day's show. We are live in Surprise and have a trio of Rangers updates for you. You can tune in every night at 6 o'clock for more in-depth conversation. Jared Sandler joins us for a segment or two before every Rangers pregame as well once that season gets started. But we got another player in the outfield guy, Kevin Pillar. He plays all three positions. He's 36 years old. Played for a lot of teams, including the Blue Jays, when Ruggie punched Batista. Pillar was on that diamond that day. So maybe we could get his thoughts on that. But He thought he was going to retire. He actually moves to Argyle. He buys a bunch of chicken and sheep, and he's going to do like the mini farm thing where his kids got chores, and we're not full on farmers, but we have a farm type setup.
We're gentlemen farmers.
That. Yeah,
I romanticize about that, but like not having to be the one that actually does the work.
Yeah, you know? You've got somebody that's doing it for you.
Yeah,
the perfect fence and the driveway with the truck and everything. And well, he thought he was going to do that, and he was really enjoying being around his kids. I mean, they're 3 and 6. But he said in the end that talk was about he got hurt last year and he just was getting whispers that maybe the league was sending him a message that it was time to go. But around the winter meetings or time or whatever, he was like, nope, I'm all in. So he let his agent know and CY called him. And apparently they'd been having an eye on him. But last year he hit 301 against lefties. So, I mean, it's a minor league deal with an invite to spring training, but I have to imagine this is going to work out and he can be part of your outfield depth, Wolchuk.
Yeah, I think he essentially would take your Janko role as Travis Jankowski's gone away. So he's great insurance, tremendous depth, very good defensive player, but he's filling what Leody and Evan Carter has struggled at, which is hitting lefties at a high clip. So if you have a left-handed pitcher, now Boach has the ability to maneuver the lineup, slide in a Pilar, and you're not feeling like, maybe later on if they put in a righty out of the bullpen, you then go ahead and make the replacement move with Carter or Leody coming in. But also, hey, Leody might not be on the club opening day. So this gives you some more depth as well.
We were just treated to a strike him out, throw him out, double play. That is where the batter gets his third strike. And on that same play, the catcher immediately takes that ball and throws it to a base where a member of the opposing team is trying to steal it. And the fielder tags him before he hits that base. I'm doing a little baseball education series this week, guys, for stranded Mavs and Cowboys fans that are looking for
I like what you did there. It's kind of like me explaining under tackles, three techniques, outside shoulders and stuff. Yeah.
You got it.
Dawson's Baseball 101.
Yes.
This is exciting. By the way, on Pilar, you guys know his nickname is Superman?
Let's go.
No.
You can't underestimate a guy like that.
No.
You can't at all. And that's according to MLB.com, Baseball Reference. They're giving him the Superman nickname. He must have earned that in a huge way. We're going to have to get to the bottom of that.
Is he Clark Kent kind of looking dude? You know, glasses?
I think he's made some – I think what's happened is throughout the course of his career, he's made some like
– ridiculous plays.
Like incredible diving catches and things like
layouts.
That. Yeah, and so he earned that nickname. So I'm looking forward to seeing this guy.
It's one of the most exciting plays in the game when you're sure it's a hit.
Oh, yeah.
And all of a sudden the outfielder is there, and he's got the wherewithal to make a snag like that.
Do you like a better at the wall or as a robbery there or running up, and you think it's going to bloop down, but all of a sudden this dude reaches out and he dives like really, really far.
I think
far.
They're equal. I guess taking the home run, it has a little bit more worth and more lore to it. But a lot of times those look awkward, you know. You got to be real smooth to make that thing look.
How about Tavares' catch right in front of us there?
Yeah,
I'll never forget
against the Orioles.
Leody's robbery.
Yeah,
Evan Carter.
And then Carter in front of the garage doors there at Minute Maid. Yeah, those are big time plays. Hey, Dawson. Speaking of baseball education,
sure.
You know we've had a couple of challenges for balls and strikes.
Yeah,
these things go pretty quick.
They do.
17 seconds is the average.
Well, this one I think it was like batter challenges. It's a ball. You know, I mean, it wasn't like I didn't even. I was like kind of somewhat paying attention, but it went by pretty quick. I don't know why we don't think about doing this now.
They got it all figured out now, so I think it's just a matter of time. This should probably be fully instituted to Major League Baseball in its current form immediately, but they're going to wait. You know, they like to move slowly when it comes to changing stuff like this.
If it takes that quick, my gosh, just do it.
I don't know.
Just do it.
It seems to be very little interruption, and I appreciate them getting the call right, especially if they can do it quickly. Like the thing that annoys me, I think replay should be gone in basketball because it takes a long time and you're still not sure. But this is 100% or 99.99%.
Well, they don't have to go to Secaucus, New Jersey to talk to three other officials to get it right.
Yeah. You know, it's Secaucus that came to mind for you.
What? That's the city where the league watches the replay, man.
Oh, is it? Is it actually?
Yeah.
You know,
I'm trying to add a little to the program, Wolchuk.
Yeah, of course you are. You're adding a lot to the
program. I like what you're doing, Brad.
I'm trying my best. You know,
the beer is flowing here at spring training, I'll tell you that much.
I'm not buying any more, Dawson. I'm going to treat it like that.
We have biggest Cowboys storyline to the combine coming up at 4 o'clock. It's time, though, for Krusty's Corner. Brian, where are you taking us?
Yeah, I'm going to give you the 5 most desperate teams in this NFL draft. You'll be surprised who that list is next.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Lucius. And salute to Ruben Portillo.
Yeah.
Who managed to slay the ghost of Ted Nichols. Payne haunts us on remote from time to time. You know, that's just the kind of prankster that he was.
Mm-hmm.
As we continue here on today's show, live from Surprise, Arizona, it's time for Krusty's Corner, brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning, gimmick-free AC repair and replacement. Here's the kink, Brian.
Thank you very much, General. Thank you to Reliant. I'm going to make this quick because I think we got beer sales stopping at the seventh inning, right?
Oh, we do?
Yeah.
Skip this.
Yeah. Dawson, you can take this segment over.
Thanks, Dawson.
I'm sure you got something you can talk about.
Take that, sure.
Talk about that. Okay, I owe you guys an apology.
Oh.
I do owe you guys an apology.
About time.
Last night, old Scout Boy was walking around and, like, leading us the wrong direction.
Mm-hmm.
Like getting on the wrong train, going the wrong direction,
yep.
You know? And I want to apologize for that.
You know? Good, man.
I tried to make up with it with the ride that we got, you know?
The ride you have, I think it's the best van I've ever ridden in.
I would say that's a life hack. Like, if you're in a rental car situation, get the minivan.
Dude. Yeah.
Yeah. This thing's gorgeous.
Well, it was just, you know, I just did a little research. It was the same price that we were kind of locked into.
Yeah,
and me being a preferred Avis guy, I'm like, listen, I could finagle this thing. I just wanted to make sure my guys got a little, had a little room. But I apologize for, like, taking you on the wrong train, you know. And Dawson looked at me and goes, bro, you're 0 for 3. You know, and I said, I could be 0 for 4 if this, you know, we've had some situations with us on trips with me falling down in the Avis lot. That's a well-documented story. But I wanted to make sure that you guys were taken care of, you know.
Well, congrats on staying upright last night.
Yeah.
You know, that was tremendous.
Thank you.
I did think it was more of a letdown when we got C-25, 26, and 27 for our boarding assignments on Southwest. But
that was tough.
It was fine because by the time we got on there was still exit row, and we kind of got the pick of, you know, the situation.
Well, you had to check your bags. This is what happened in that situation.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah.
Saturday, right? Because I've got the miles. If you notice, I was in the A group.
He's got,
I was already.
Oh, I know you were.
I was sitting down, but I watched you guys walk by, and I was feeling the kind of like looking at me like you effed this thing up.
Capital A, a hole.
Yeah. Like, well, you didn't have your bags.
Set an alarm and done the check in, but the last time I did that, you called me and said, "Don't effing check in for me again." So I said, I'm letting you take care of this, B. I know you've got it under control.
You know
what?
I went to dinner. I didn't even take my phone. So I didn't even think about checking in.
Didn't even go to dinner.
And you guys got C boarding group. And I that won't happen again. I apologize.
It's all right.
I apologize about that again.
Ultimately, it gets made up for because our bags were secure, even though we had to end up checking them.
Yeah.
And then we got the Kia Carnival, which is one hell of a smooth ride, man.
Okay, and my final thing is, before I get going to these desperate NFL teams in the draft.
More beer.
Dawson, have you ever seen anybody drive worse than Eric did to get here last night?
I thought it was expert driving. It was a little hot for my liking.
It was a little too hot.
All right.
P-word.
We were hitting about 90.
Execution, well, no, it was 98 at one point.
It was,
You were humming.
I'm used to being around race teams and race cars and stuff. Honestly, I was in the front seat there. Thank you guys for not letting me sit in the back because I would have been throwing up in the back with the motion sickness problems with the way that Eric was driving.
Yeah.
Okay, he has that alert that tells you that there's somebody in the other lane.
Mm-hmm.
That was on the whole time. Every turn, I'm thinking, this is about to be a Daytona wreck. He's not clear. Clear. He's not clear. And I hear that beep. And I'm thinking, okay, we're about to get spun here.
I was driving with some confidence last night. I really was. I don't know what got into me there, but there was something about, listen, I'm used to manning the wheel of a minivan.
I've never seen a Kia van go close to 90 miles an hour.
We were bobbing and weaving. It's actually close to a Hundo. We were going full Jack Leiter, 99.9 on
see,
the gun.
That's why I didn't say anything, because when I looked at you, you were totally relaxed.
Yeah.
I was like, this guy is
Dawson,
in the comfort
why
zone
didn't
right
you
now.
Say anything? You just didn't. You
he did mention at one point. He made the comment of like, well, with Giafalo driving,
we'll be there in 3 minutes.
We'll get there real quick. You know,
I said 15 minutes. Well, we'll be there in 5.
Hey, okay, real quick again. How was Wolchuk as a navigator?
I had
pretty
one
poor,
hiccup
wasn't
in the
he?
Beginning.
Pretty
I had
poor.
One hiccup.
We had to bang a little UE to start, but then boom, it was smooth sailing, baby. We were HOV. Over. H-O-V. Over.
Oh,
H-O-V.
No. You figured out how to use the H-O-V as an in and out lane.
The old bob and weave.
From an apology to let me throw everyone else under the bus for all the crap they did, too.
I'm just going to say.
How sorry are you really, Brian? Are you even sorry?
Not at all.
You don't need to apologize.
No, I'm not sorry at all. I'm not sorry at all because Woolchuck, that was a horrible job of navigating.
Well, I had to pull the fellas together and say.
I had to identify where I-10 and I-17 was. I'm like, I can't even see. And I'm like, oh, Eric, you're supposed to turn here. And then Wolchek's, oh, wait, oh, he's right,
no,
he's
I,
right.
I had a massive F up there earlier.
All right.
I wasn't paying attention. I do apologize
All right.
for that. On
Here
my
we go.
Part. The
Here
remaining 35 minutes, though, were flawless execution.
Yeah, it was up flawless. All right. These are the teams. According to Pro Football Focus, my new website that I always look
you
at.
You need to start evolving and going to other websites.
I like this one, though.
You're liking it a little too much for me.
Okay, right. But they're going to tell you the five most desperate teams in the draft. Well,
we yeah, this has me fired up.
Team theory.
And he pays good money for this, man. You got to squeeze all the juice out of that.
Well, maybe I'm a little bit upset.
Thank
he
you.
Shared the
Thank
login.
You. See, Eric.
I was told I would share the login, and guess what? Has Uncle Bri-Bri shared login?
No, share
no,
the
no. I haven't. All right, I'll give it to you. All right, when we get done here.
Okay.
All right, number one, Cleveland Browns. Cleveland Browns, the most desperate team in here. Massive quarterback contract often makes roster management a delicate dance.
Okay.
And when that quarterback has an extensive injury history, the task becomes nearly impossible.
Impossible.
So, Cleveland Browns, they would be number one. Number two, the New Orleans Saints.
This might be the worst loss the Browns have ever taken to be finding themselves in this situation. I mean,
the worst loss, the horrible seasons.
Yeah.
The shame and humiliation of that. I think as a fan, there's at least hope there. There's no hope in this. They got to check in like 2030 and see where they are.
Yeah. You're not wrong. You're not wrong about that. New Orleans Saints, for years, Mickey Loomis and the Saints front office have gotten crafty in finding ways to circumvent the salary cap and push the bill down the road. Now it's time to pay the bill. New Orleans ranks dead last in available cap space, currently projected to go more than $47 million over the cap threshold. Good time to be black and gold, right? Black
yeah,
and gold
not
fan.
As bad as Cleveland, but that's no fun either. What they really need is for somebody to embrace the tank. Kellen Moore might be the man for the job.
Amen.
Amen to that. Eric Chiafalo's Miami Dolphins are number three as the most desperate team in this draft. Impromptu injury at a quarterback position results in another middling campaign from a team flush with talent and promise. Now the Dolphins general manager, my buddy Chris Greer, faces the challenge of improving on the result while being both strapped for cash and watching several key contributors depart for free agency. Eric, you would like to say anything on behalf of the Miami Dolphins?
It's all flash, no substance. They tied themselves to an injury-prone, underwhelming in big-game moments quarterback, and they've neglected the offensive line in an embarrassing way.
But gosh, we love a good flash.
All right, Woolchuck, you be quiet. You're about to talk about your team here.
Are you talking about?
The Dallas Cowboys are number four.
The
Dallas Cowboys. Walking a tightrope in the term of cap flexibility, Dallas faces losing many of its key players who have salvaged the team's success down the stretch. They must be listening to our show. Oso Digizua, Jordan Lewis, Eric Kendricks, Rico Dowdle, and Cooper Rush, among others, are slated to enter the market as unrestricted free agents. While Dak Prescott's injury sets Dallas back, the team's run game struggles 31st in that team rank in the PFF rushing grade and 30th in the team PFF run defense grade. Truly marred its 2024 campaign. Now the Cowboys must find ways to rejuvenate their ground game as well as supplement the passing game with limited resources.
Yeah.
Go all in on the defense, man. Revamp the defense.
I'm fine with that, man. I really am. Because as you were talking about the Browns earlier, and when you broke down, like we were talking backup quarterbacks and Dak's contract, I'd assume what they're doing is they restructured Dak. So what does that then mean, right? We're pushing money into the future, which we're applauding the Eagles for doing, but it results in winning. You're going to applaud that. You push money into the future. Dak Prescott's no longer your quarterback. What then happens? You're paying Dak for not playing football for you, which is what happened with Tony Romo, which is why they couldn't maximize the initial deal with Dak under his rookie contract. So now history would repeat itself under Dak Prescott. And I have a massive fear that's exactly the direction this organization's going. So I can't tell you. I see a whole lot of difference between our Dallas Cowboys and the Poopy Browns.
Well, I mean, they at least have a chance to win if they can get the draft right, nail free agency. I mean, yeah, they need
Browns
about
just no chance.
Yeah, they. I mean, the Cowboys need a half dozen good players, you know, and if a couple of those can be legends, then at the right positions, you know, I could see them pulling this off here. I, you know, as bad as it was for Dak, he was so good in 2023. You just need that version of Dak, and I don't think that's unrealistic.
We really need that version of Dak in the game's biggest moments, in the postseason.
Yeah. Well,
I don't know what it is.
You need a dependable running game, and you need a defense that can stop the run to go along with that version of Dak.
Sure.
You know, and then you could win a game 17-14 in the playoffs, which happens for champions all the time.
Yeah, and I think the rushing attack is heading in the right direction. You obviously got to get a back in there. Maybe it's Rico, maybe it's somebody else, but that's heading in the right direction. Your defense is what needs the full-on revamp there from a personnel standpoint.
Yeah. I'll say this for, you know, for another time, but like I say, I'm all about Ashton Jeanty, but this running back draft is deep.
It's very deep.
This is deep. And if you got to fill holes, I'm not going to sit there and say, okay, you got to go get Ashton Jeanty because there's nobody else. There are actually backs there that can do the job.
Oh, there are. But I think the rest of the league is also going to see that.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm hopeful at 44. Yeah. One of the dudes I love that can be a bell cow is there. Yeah. I'm just really, really nervous about that.
And my final one here real quick is the Atlanta Falcons. They're number 5. Moving on from a quarterback less than 12 months after signing him to a significant contract would create an issue for any front office. Pair that with significant cap restraints and by trade or cut or set of said quarterback, and you face a complicated situation. So those are the top 5 teams that are going to be desperate.
How do you guys feel about Penix going into year 2?
I think they should have played him from the jump.
Yeah, I think he looked pretty darn good in those
was one of my guys. He was what he was a quarterback I actually felt like I got right in this draft.
I think I'd feel fairly optimistic, you know, if I'm Atlanta right now.
I would too.
But yes, that is going to be difficult, and you're just hoping you can get the draft capital back to offset that loss of value there with the Kirk Cousins, you know, 1 year. Okay, Krusty's Corner brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning, gimmick-free AC repair and replacement. It was a very eventful night getting in here to surprise. I was just happy to be on the ground after that flight.
Oh, wow.
Holy cow.
Yeah.
It was so much turbulence, the flight attendants never got up.
Never
did. There was no beverage service. They were in their seatbelts the entire time. So maybe we can talk about that. Mardi Gras Brian is in the house, if you didn't notice. So we're living it up to the fullest here. Day one of spring training. Biggest Cowboy storylines at
right
the
now.
Combine
beer.
Is next.
Beer.
It's the G-Bag Nation beer. On 105.3 The Fan.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter. Such a
Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep. Graybar does that.
The march to spring training and opening day is upon us. Rob Bradford from Baseball Isn't Boring here, and we'll have you covered every single day with podcasts that aim to educate, entertain, and inform you as a baseball fan. Follow Baseball Isn't Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.